Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Well, they say it's the stuff of science fiction. Some would say it's the stuff of science or simple observation. Of fantasy, of hope. You know, if you read some of the leading proponents of alien visitation to our planet, UFOs and extraterrestrials, some of the things they've been writing in the last several years are positively metaphysical, religious in nature. And I'm thinking about the big names, those who push both their own encounters with alien species, but also like to talk about all of those who claim to have had encounters, sightings, whatever it may be. We're going to talk about UFOs and extraterrestrials. Ken Samples will join us here for the next 40 minutes of the program. I'm Todd Wilkin. Now, I do want to hear from you about UFOs and extraterrestrials. Do you believe? Do you want to believe? Or do you have a good reason why you can't believe? Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Or talk back at issuesetc.org. Ken Samples is Vice President of Philosophical and Theological Apologetics for Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California, co-author of the book Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men. Ken, welcome back.
Hi, Todd.
What does the Bible say, if anything, about UFOs or extraterrestrials?
Well, there are plenty of people who would like to think that the Bible has a lot to say about the topic. But I think a fair reading of the Bible indicates that the Bible really doesn't say anything about life in outer space or extraterrestrial life, or certainly nothing about UFOs. There are people who would like to read into kind of an esoteric interpretation of these kinds of things, but the Bible really doesn't address it. Christian theologians and philosophers through the centuries have speculated. For example, Thomas Aquinas, in the 13th century, raised the question of, could God have created intelligent creatures in space? But the Bible does not address that topic.
Okay, then when did the topic emerge? When did people begin to say, I saw something, either in the sky or here on Earth, that is not from this world but from space? I talked to someone, I witnessed something. When does that phenomenon begin?
Yeah, that's a good question. As I've mentioned, you know, Christian thinkers have raised these questions for a long time because there are philosophical questions relating to God and to his possibility of creating other intelligent creatures in other parts of the universe. But the reality, the UFO phenomenon, the extraterrestrial ideas that have become so popular in our time really came at the end of the Second World War. During the Second World War, there were people, pilots, both for the Axis and the Allies, who claimed to have seen strange things in the atmosphere, and often, the Axis would say the Americans or the Russians have come up with something exotic or unique, and we would say something similar. But it is with the commercial pilot Kenneth Arnold. He was flying a commercial plane in Washington State and observed an unusual phenomenon of crafts traveling at an incredible speed. In a discussion with a news reporter, the news reporter called them flying saucers. And that was really kind of the birth of the UFO phenomenon. In the late 40s and 50s, you had people who claimed to be what we call contactees, that they not only encountered UFO crafts, but talked to their alleged space beings, even took trips upon the crafts. And then out of that, of course, came a later phenomenon in the 70s and the 1980s called the abductees. These were people who were abducted. And so this has become an amazingly popular phenomenon and a very religious phenomenon, because all of the contactees and most of the abductees have some kind of religious message to communicate concerning this phenomenon.
Okay, so tell me if you can classify an experience that I had. And please don't dismiss me as a kook. I
don't consider you a kook by any means.
What I saw, I actually saw, although I must tell you up front, I do not believe it to have been extraterrestrial in origin. I just can't explain what I saw. It's that simple. I'm driving home one night, and right over my house, and I mean over my house, probably no more than 500 feet over my house, moving silently through the sky, a series of lights heading directly south, making no noise whatsoever, moved kind of away quickly, and I thought to myself, well, that was odd. My daughter saw it too. And she said, was that a UFO? I said, well, it was certainly a UFO. I can't identify it. But I have a very hard time accepting that it came from another world, because there seems to be, between that conclusion and the truth, too many steps I would have to traverse, too many other rational explanations I would have to dismiss.
Yeah, Todd, there are lots of people, including myself, who have seen strange, maybe unusual, certainly unidentified phenomena in the sky. There are lots of reports of people who've seen lights, or some even suggest some type of craft. But what's interesting when you talk with people who are very familiar with the sky, people who are astronomers, people who are experts on aircraft, they will tell you that the vast majority of reports, very similar to the one that you have just shared, and I could share a similar one. I live near an Air Force base out here in Southern California, and I saw an unusual rather phenomenon. But the truth of the matter is that the vast majority of reports about strange or unidentified things in the sky end up being moving from UFOs to IFOs. They move from being unidentified to being identified, and the vast majority of them, maybe 90 to 95% of them, are either natural phenomena or misidentified human phenomena. And so really we have a very small residual group of data that we're not able to kind of explain. And the idea, and I think your point is a good one, I mean, the idea of moving from looking at something unusual to concluding that there are literal metallic crafts traveling from other galaxies to Earth and desiring to communicate with the humanity, that's an incredible stretch. And so you really have kind of three different interpretations of UFOs. They're all misidentified natural or human phenomena. Or maybe a small percentage of them are extraterrestrial, literal metallic crafts traveling from another part of the galaxy or somewhere else, or that they're psychic phenomena, that there's some kind of spiritual realities that, again, people are misidentifying.
Okay, how are they classified usually? I mean, just so we know what we're talking about and we don't in any way dismiss those who make these claims without simply putting their claims to the test, how do those who claim to study these things classify UFOs and other encounters?
Well, again, I would say the vast majority, if you talk with any of the so-called UFO experts, sometimes called ufologists, the most credible people, again, often these are people with advanced degrees in the appropriate sciences, astronomy, physics, etc., they would argue that the vast majority of these UFO reports are, again, just unexplained natural or human phenomena. They could also be hoaxes. There could be any number of explanations. In the book, we catalog the different kinds of ways that scientists explain these kinds of things. And again, people see unusual things. Sometimes people just merely see lights. Sometimes people see just strange phenomena. Other times people say that they actually saw some kind of craft. And so you move in terms of classification forward, and some people say they have encountered beings. And so there's kind of a level of classification in terms of involvement with these types of UFO people. But again, usually at the end of all of this kind of phenomena, there is some kind of religious message.
Folks, it's Wednesday, October the 8th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Ken Samples of Reasons to Believe is our guest. I want to hear from you on UFOs and extraterrestrials. You can email us right here in the studio on this Wednesday, October the 8th. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Or give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Ken Samples is Vice President of Philosophical and Theological Apologetics for Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California. He's co-author of the book Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men. When we come back, there is another phenomenon attached to the UFO claims. Not in every case, but in so many cases, especially among those who tend to make their living off of, or try to make a living off of, the UFO phenomenon, and that is the conspiracy theory. Why is there an affinity between claims to have seen aliens or alien craft, or encountered aliens or alien craft, and conspiracy theories? Well, you know, the government's known about this since the very beginning. They keep big files stored away someplace with all the proof that we would ever need to see, but the reason there is no proof to see is because the government is just that good at covering it up. They're almost godlike in their ability to track down every piece of evidence that would otherwise convince us all of alien presence, hide it away, and keep it from us all. Why the conspiracy theories? We'll be right back.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.
Racism. Stop looking on the outside.
Answers with Ken Ham, whose ministry has opened a large creation museum near Cincinnati, Ohio.
When I mentioned looking on the outside, I'm thinking about racism. At many of our conferences all over the world, I often ask people the following. What do they believe is the major factor that most people would use as a basis for racist attitudes against a group of people? Well, without hesitation, people say skin color, particularly dark skin. I then show them all that all humans actually have the same basic skin color. It's a matter of how much of the pigment a person has. Skin shade is an outside factor. Even evolutionists recognize that the main differences between people groups are really cultural, not genetic. The famous Human Genome Project had scientists declaring that the percentage of our genes that makes up our external appearance is in the range of 0.01%. That's insignificant. People need to stop making a major issue over minor differences like skin shade and do what God does. He doesn't look at the outside, but the inside. A person's heart. The real person, who, like all of us, is a descendant of Adam.
This fascinating topic is explored in much more detail in one of Ken's intriguing DVDs. For What the Bible and Real Science Say About Where All the Different Races Have Come From, call us toll-free and let us know what donation you can offer us this week. The toll-free number is 1-888-89-ANSWERS or go to our website, answersoffer.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about UFOs and extraterrestrials. Ken Samples is our guest. Tomorrow on the program, we'll discuss the family's essential role in society. Dr. Alan Carlson will be our guest. We'll also talk with Dr. Nathan Jastrom about Abraham. Ken, before the break, you said that when all is said and done, when all the investigation is complete, very often at the bottom of the claims with regard to UFOs and extraterrestrials are also religious claims. What are you talking about?
Well, what's very interesting is you not only have contactees, people who say they encountered extraterrestrial beings or maybe even taken a trip on one of the spaceships, but often there is a religious message that stands behind it. They have been given some kind of revelation. These extraterrestrial realities want to communicate something to humanity, and often it is profoundly religious. And interestingly enough, Todd, often within what we call the UFO cults, it's very anti-historic Christianity, specifically attacking what you and I would call the creedal message of Christianity, God being triune, Christ being God in human flesh, etc. And so you have these UFO cults that speak about these beings in very religious terms and often in very occult ways. They're engaged. In fact, the idea of channeling, which is a very common term used among New Age people, that word channeling was first given in a context of a so-called UFO being revealing himself. And so people who are engaged in religious ideas relating to UFOs are often involved in occult religion.
Chuck is listening in St. Louis. Chuck, thanks for waiting. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, thanks, gentlemen. I think you might have already spoken just maybe briefly to it, but I don't speak with any awareness about this, but I have encountered several times with several Christians and even perhaps some books without even investigating them. So I haven't investigated the claims of the phenomena, but I have heard over and over several times about the possible demonic influence of the phenomenon itself. I can't add anything to the explanation of it, but I just wondered if the author might speak to it, if he knows of anything about that, okay?
Chuck, thank you very much. Your thoughts there, Ken?
Thank you for that, Chuck. I would say this. It seems like the UFO phenomena can really be kind of stated in this terms. It seems to be more of a psychic phenomena than it is a physical phenomenon. That is, with all of the books and claims that have been made over the last 50 or 60 years, there's no undisputed, impeachable physical evidence for any UFOs, including Roswell, including all of these other claims. Yet the phenomena seems to be not physical. It seems to be a kind of a psychic phenomenon, and often it is religious and deeply delving into the realm of deception. And an interesting, and I'm not going to say this is a scientific analysis, it is the analysis of some of us who have read and talked and interviewed with many people over the last couple decades, that often people who see UFOs, not in every case, but often people who claim to have these deep, close encounters, not like Todd and I who've seen unusual things in the sky, but people who've had these, you know, close encounters of the fourth, fifth kind, these people are also often people who've seen ghosts, who are involved in other types of psychic phenomena. So all I say by that is the things that accompany the UFO phenomenon sometimes have a parallel in what Christian theology would describe as the demonic realm. Now, is that a one-to-one correspondence? It is not. But that is there, and there are interesting people who are not Christians. Jacques Vallée, one of the leading world's writers in the area of this phenomenon, has said something very similar.
So there is a coincidence, if not a correlation, between the two things that can be noted.
I think that's right, yes.
Gary in New Jersey writes this: it often seems that aliens are seen as saviors of our world. And who wants us to look for a false savior? I believe that UFOs are real. I believe that they are temptations from the evil one to point away from Christ. Let's dovetail that with what you were saying before about the religious claims of some UFO proponents.
Yeah, I mean, the phenomenon does seem to have some element based in reality. It doesn't appear to be a physical phenomenon. It may be a psychic phenomenon. It's closely related to a very deceptive and sometimes even anti-Christian element. So it's very easy to see how some Christian thinkers would say, hey, this has some element of connection with what Christians for centuries have called demonology. Now, again, I think you can overstate that case because, again, I think that 90, 95, maybe 99% of what people call UFO phenomenon may purely be natural or human misidentification, but there is that residual element. And because when I read Matthew 24 and other parts of the New Testament, it seems that one of the things that is very clear about the kingdom of darkness is religious deception, and it is very profound in UFO cults.
Whitley Strieber is an author who has pretty much parlayed his claimed encounter with aliens back in the late 70s, a book he wrote in the mid-80s, I believe, turned into a movie, in fact, just scared the willies out of me when I saw it as a teenager. He's one who's gone from making mere claims about encounters to grand claims about the salvific nature of the aliens who visit us.
That's exactly right. In fact, it is those types of very advanced encounters where people actually have contact that makes you want to consider another description of this phenomenon. A real phenomenon, non-physical, psychic maybe in orientation, very deceptive and elusive, and with people like Whitley Strieber and others, one might even add malevolent. That is, that some people who have either played around with these things or sought their phenomenon, there are reports by psychologists and by other law enforcement personnel and military personnel that people have been harmed by engaging in this type of phenomenon. And I have read some of Strieber's books as well, and it's very frightening if any of what he has to say actually took place.
Folks, I want to hear from you on UFOs and extraterrestrials. Our call-in number on this Wednesday, the 8th of October, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Call during this break that's coming up here. We've got about another, 15 minutes with Ken Samples on UFOs and extraterrestrials. 1-877-623-6943, or send us your email right here in the studio. talkback@issuesetc.org. Why is there an affinity between claims of UFO phenomenon and an almost religious adherence to various conspiracy theories, Ken?
Yeah, that's a good and important topic. You know, the United States government is involved in hushing things up and keeping things quiet, but Todd, it's not because they've got UFOs, you know, in Groom Lake or Roswell. The United States government, and remember, this phenomenon took place at the height of the Cold War. We're talking 1947, 48, 49, 1950. America was trying to protect its natural secrets, and that's, of course, what we want American leaders to do, to be very protective over what the things that we have in terms of military, in terms of nuclear weapons. And so I think a lot of people see the government being, very deceptive about things, and they think, well, they're hiding something. No, what they're doing is they're protecting the kinds of weapons. I mean, the SR-71, first time I saw the SR-71 Blackbird, I was shocked at the incredible advancement of it, or the B-1 or B-2 bombers. The government has often been accused of trying to cover up things, But I think it's merely a matter of them trying to be very protective in a world in which there are real threats to the United States. And remember, a lot of this phenomenon takes place at the height of the Cold War, where there was a lot of concern about the Soviet Union.
Okay, let's talk about that on the other side of the break, because the adherence to a conspiracy theory, its unassailability, its unimpeachability, is often a thin line with religion, with religious beliefs. And if the government or whatever agency is apparently covering up everything that we should know about what's going on, everything we could know if they weren't covering it up, in an almost godlike fashion, it sounds dangerously close to a kind of perverse form of idolatry. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk more with Ken Samples. In fact, another 10 minutes on UFOs and extraterrestrials. This break is a great time to give us a call. I do want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE, or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
What is it, Captain?
Whatever it is, it's incredibly advanced.
Hey, iPhone users, you can now listen to Issues Etc. live on your iPhone. Find out by going to piratechristianradio.com and click the iPhone link on the homepage. You no longer have to sit by your PC, laptop, or home radio to listen to Issues Etc. live. piratechristianradio.com and look for the iPhone icon.
With something much, much more. And it's going to change everything.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran Church, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300. We're talking about UFOs and extraterrestrials. Ken Samples is our guest. I was a parish pastor for 9 years. I know what this time of the year brings. It brings budget decisions. It means the congregation sits down in October and says, we got to have this budget set by January. Let's figure out what's in and what's out. We would like you to consider, you and your congregation to consider, including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget for 2009. And now is the time to ask. It's very simple. $1,000, 300 congregations. We call it the Issues Etc. 300. $1,000 in their mission or advertising budget, and it's very simple to do. We even provide a printable flyer for you to take to your mission, your advertising, your elders, whatever board you need to talk to at budget time, and ask them to consider your congregation becoming part of the Issues Etc. 300. You can find that flyer under the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. It's the Issues, Etc. 300. Ken Samples is our guest. We're talking UFOs. Okay, one more question on the conspiracy theory, and that is, these things, like the other beliefs surrounding UFO phenomenon, these conspiracy theories can take on a religious quality to them as well. What are your basic concerns about the dangers of holding to a conspiracy theory?
Well, it is really critically important. I mean, I've been reading about conspiracy theories since I was a young boy, the John F. Kennedy assassination, and all the way down to 9/11. There are people who think that Osama bin Laden didn't have anything to do with the Twin Towers, that George Bush and certain other elite members of the American government knocked the towers down. It seems to me that the concern here, Todd, is this. We have to have a real heavy dose of skepticism and caution when it comes to anything-based UFO. I mean, there are these three broad categories of interpreting the phenomenon. I think a vast majority of it can or does have some natural explanation. Other parts of it are hard to interpret purely from a natural point of view. But in terms of kind of developing it into a conspiracy and things of that nature, we need sound thinking. We need critical thinking. We need our beliefs to be based upon the credibility of evidence that comes forward. And often people's conspiracy thinking is deeply tied either to their religious worldview or their political worldview. And, the Bible says that test all things, hold on to the good, be discerning, be reflective. John tells us, don't believe things too quickly. Those are good intellectual virtues for us to model for a world that I think is often very credulous about things like this. So we want to be careful, and I think there's far too many overstatements about this so-called UFO phenomenon.
Kevin is listening in St. Charles, Missouri. Hi, Kevin.
Hello. I just want to say that I think he's right on with that.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. An agreeing listener there. You're fond, Ken, of talking about worldviews and putting them to the test. So what is the UFO worldview in a nutshell? And does it make it past the worldview test for a credible, workable, and based in reality kind of a worldview?
Yeah, it's a very slippery topic, but I think that when we begin to ask some really hard and fast questions, I mean, there are people who think that there are literal metallic crafts visiting the Earth, but as I mentioned, there really isn't any reports that are not without real difficulty, and so the more you sink your teeth into kind of an extraterrestrial theory, the more you begin to ask questions about this phenomenon's coherence, whether UFO ideas actually correspond to the nature of reality, it really becomes a very weak approach to these kinds of things. There are lots of difficulties with the idea of crafts traveling from one galaxy to the other. The nearest galaxy is 2 million light years away. I mean, when my kids go on long trips, they say, are we there yet? Can you imagine the UFO kids? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? There are all kinds of logical, philosophical, scientific difficulties with the idea that there are these intelligent creatures somewhere out in space who are trying to reach us.
Are there UFO cults?
There are indeed many UFO cults. There are many of these groups began in the early 1950s. There are groups today that still have an enormous influence and who have ideas out there that are suggesting, that should be taken seriously. Some of the particular groups that I think we would know a lot about, Heaven's Gate. You remember a decade or so ago, a particular individual here in California said that there was a ship behind the Hale-Bopp comet. They committed suicide, believing they would leave their bodies and join this craft. There is the Raelian movement, which is likely the largest UFO cult in the world. Sometimes they say they've got 30,000 followers. So this is a big phenomenon, not heavily based in credible reason, logic, rationality, and science, but it is something people are interested in. And, of course, as G.K. Chesterton said, when you stop believing in God, you don't stop believing in everything. You start believing in almost anything. And I think that people are looking for salvation from above, but it's not the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather, it's salvation in the form of a spaceship.
Rick in Appleton, Wisconsin, writes this. He says, about 15 years ago, I think the government released a report or something to prove that there were no aliens at Roswell, New Mexico. My immediate reaction was that they did a bad job on purpose so that people would believe the conspiracy theory that they actually did recover an alien craft while still denying it. I'm getting a little confused. And then he says, why would they feed the conspiracy theories so that people around the world, including our military enemies, would believe in the technological superiority of the United States? That's my conspiracy theory. He has a little smiley face there. Or is your guest aware of this report? What are his thoughts?
I am aware of it. Roswell, of course, has been a hot topic for almost 60 years or so. Again, I think the government is covering up, but it's not covering up what UFO people think is covering up. The United States government is involved in trying to protect America's national secrets. And there are times in which it can be very deceptive. I was watching a video the other night about how deceptive the United States was in terms of trying to trick the Axis during the Second World War, trying to win a war and keep people trying to liberate people who had been oppressed by the Axis powers. So I'm not surprised that the government can cover up and not always be completely candid about these types of issues. But in its service to protect America, I think we misinterpret what they're trying to cover up.
Then bottom line, with only about a minute, no more, do I have to worry when I go to bed tonight that the aliens are going to come tapping at my window or visiting me in my home, or flying over my house?
Don't have to worry. You know, God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. I don't know if God may have created intelligent life in space. Christian thinkers have debated that topic. It could be. It may not be. But any creature would have to acknowledge that God is the creator. And as Christian believers, we have our complete confidence in our Creator and Redeemer, and we need not give any concern or fear of these strange and unusual phenomena that people speak so often about.
Ken Samples is Vice President of Philosophical and Theological Apologetics for Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California. He's co-author of the book Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men. Ken, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be with you.
Tomorrow, Abraham, the man of faith, he's called. Dr. Nathan Jastrom will be our guest. We'll also talk about the family's essential role in our society. Dr. Alan Carlson will be our guest. The world around us, the universe around us, is far bigger and more amazing than we can imagine. Science barely taps into what there is out there. And there's enough, even without aliens, to mystify and marvel at. Could it be that God actually created the entire universe, as vast, as unimaginably vast as it apparently is? All the stars and perhaps the planets that circle them, for us? That he would make all of this in such great extravagance as mere window dressing for the drama that he intends to play out here on this planet, with life as he created it, as he claimed to have created it in his holy scriptures, to redeem for himself sinners out of their fall, and by the shed blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, redeem all the universe? That seems pretty likely to me. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc. Talk with you again tomorrow.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.